All right, so we're going to dive into a case today that throws kind of wrench into the whole Miranda rights thing. Like, imagine you're a cop chasing a suspect into a supermarket crowded. You know he's armed, but poof, gun's gone. So what do you do? Stop and read him his rights, or is it find that weapon first?
Yeah, I see what you mean. Tough spot to be in, right? It really makes you think about the balance, between someone's rights and keeping everyone safe.
Exactly. And that's what the Supreme Court was dealing with in New York v. Quarles.
Definitely a landmark case.
So let's set the scene. 1980, late at night, a supermarket in Queens. Woman reports she's been attacked. The guy ran into the store. Benjamin Quarles is his name. And she tells the officer he had a gun on him.
Okay, so already tense situation.
Totally. Officer Kraft, he spots Quarles, but the guy takes off running.
Oh, man.
What happens next is, well, it kind of changes things.
So what went down?
Kraft chases him, catches him, frisks him, finds an empty holster. Knowing there's a gun somewhere, he handcuffs Quarles and asks him point blank, "Where's the gun?"
I can only imagine the pressure of that moment.
Right. And Quarles nods towards some empty cartons and says, "The gun is over there." And bam, they find it. Loaded .38 caliber revolver.
Wow. So they got the gun, but.
But here's the thing. Kraft didn't read Quarles his Miranda rights before asking about the gun.
Ah, there it is. So that's where the legal battle really kicks off.
Yep, and the lower courts, they actually tossed out the gun and Quarles' statement as evidence. Said it was all illegal because, no Miranda warning.
Really? Even with the public safety concern, a gun loose in a supermarket.
That's what they ruled.
Yeah.
Seemed counterintuitive,
Yeah.
right? But the Supreme Court, they had a different take.
They did.
5-4 decision, they overturned the lower courts. This is the case that gives us the public safety exception to Miranda.
Huge implications there. So basically, if there's an immediate clear danger, officers can ask specific questions about that danger before reading Miranda rights.
Exactly. It's about neutralizing the threat, not about getting a confession at that point. But, and this is a big but, how do we define immediate threat? Seems kind of subjective.
Yeah, that's the tricky part. The court knew that, so they made it clear it's got to be a real objective threat, not just, a feeling or trying to get around the rules. Like, think of it this way. Suspect running from a bank robbery, hostage situation. Officer can ask where the hostage is without Mirandizing first. It's about saving that person, not building a case.
Makes sense. So the gun in the supermarket, that definitely fits under this, right? I mean, the officer's trying to protect everyone from potential harm.
Right. The court's logic was waiting to read Miranda while there's a loaded gun potentially hit her. That's a huge risk to everyone in that store.
Makes sense. But I bet this decision, it caused some serious debate, especially for those who are, all about individual rights above everything else.
Oh, absolutely. It was a controversial ruling, even within the court itself. Justice Marshall, big defender of individual liberties, he argued that this chipped away at Miranda, opened the door for people to be pressured into saying things they wouldn't otherwise.
Yeah, I can see that concern. Like, if an officer can just say public safety and skip Miranda, couldn't that be abused?
That was Marshall's worry, the slippery slope argument, That this exception could get stretched to apply to situations where the danger wasn't really immediate.
That makes sense. So how do we draw the line then? How do we make sure it doesn't become a reason to just ignore Miranda whenever?
It's a tough question. The court tried to balance it by saying, look, this exception only applies to questions directly related to that immediate threat. Like, you can't ask about past crimes or unrelated evidence just by saying public safety.
So very specific, very targeted, not just a free pass. I imagine this case sent shockwaves through the legal world, right? How did it change how police do things and even how cases are argued in court?
It was a big shift. I mean, it fundamentally changed how police approach certain situations, gave them more flexibility when dealing with an immediate threat, but at the same time, it created new challenges for everyone, prosecutors, defense attorneys. It's a lot to think about. Like,
Yeah.
now the prosecutor, they have to prove that the officer's actions were justified,
Yep.
that the danger was real, and those questions were only about neutralizing that threat, nothing else.
Right. And I imagine for the defense attorney, they're going to be picking apart every detail.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Was the threat really immediate? Did the officer's questions go beyond just dealing with that immediate danger? It's a big deal in a lot of criminal cases.
I see how this exception, it seems simple at first, but it's opened up a whole new set of legal issues. We were talking about the dissenting opinions in Quarles.
Yeah.
You mentioned Justice Marshall, but weren't there others who disagreed with the majority?
Oh, absolutely. Justice O'Connor, she had a really interesting dissent. She agreed that the gun, that should be allowed as evidence.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's a physical object.
Exactly. It's not like a forced statement or confession.
Huh?
But she thought Quarles' statement, you know, about where the gun was, that should have been thrown out. Because it came from questioning before Miranda.
So she was separating the physical evidence, the gun, from the words Quarles actually said.
Right. O'Connor's point was, if you let that statement in, it weakens the whole purpose of Miranda, which is to protect people from being forced to incriminate themselves.
Man, this is complicated. The majority says both are admissible, Marshall says neither, and O'Connor's somewhere in between. It seems like this whole balancing act, safety versus rights, it's a really tough one.
It really is, and that's what makes this case so important. New York v. Quarles, it didn't just create this exception, it made everyone rethink these rights. And that debate's still going on today.
It's amazing how a case from one night in a supermarket has had such a huge impact on the legal system. But what really gets me is this goes way beyond the courtroom. This is about, like, the balance between individual freedom and security, especially these days when things feel so uncertain.
Absolutely. It raises tough questions. How much are we willing to give up in terms of our individual rights to feel safe? Where is that line? Every society struggles with this, and Quarles brought it front and center in America.
It makes me think about other areas of law where we see this same tension, you know?
Yeah.
Like the Fourth Amendment, right to be free from unreasonable searches. But then there are exceptions when there's danger. It's almost like Quarles supports those exceptions by saying public safety is more important sometimes.
Yeah, I see what you mean. You could say Quarles kind of set a precedent for putting safety first in emergencies, even if it means bending the rules a bit.
But like we've been talking about, you got to make sure those exceptions aren't abused. There needs to be clear rules and people watching to make sure those rights aren't being ignored.
Absolutely. And that's where all the legal experts come in. They're constantly looking at how Quarles is being applied, making sure it's used responsibly and doesn't go too far.
So even though Quarles gave us some clarity about this public safety thing, it also opened up like a whole new set of legal questions and problems.
It did. But that's how legal precedent works, right? It's always evolving, changing as people debate and interpret it. Quarles is a perfect example of how one case can completely change the legal landscape, making us rethink basic rights.
It also shows how important the lawyers are in all of this. They're the ones testing these boundaries, fighting for their clients, all within the rules of the law.
Like a chess game, right? Each side making moves, trying to get the result they want. And through that back and forth, the law changes, adapts to new situations.
Speaking of adapting, let's switch gears a bit and talk about Benjamin Quarles, the guy at the center of this whole thing. What happened to him after the Supreme Court ruling?
Well, this is where it gets interesting. So the gun was allowed as evidence, but the case against Quarles, it actually fell apart. The woman who said he attacked her, she changed her story at the trial.
Hold on, she recanted.
Yeah. And without her, the prosecution couldn't prove their case.
Wow. So even though the Supreme Court sided with the public safety exception, Quarles didn't end up being convicted. That's not what I expected.
It's a reminder that these legal cases, it's not just about the law. In theory, it's about real people's lives.
Right. And it shows the legal system, even though it's supposed to uphold the law, it doesn't always get things right for everyone.
Exactly. And in this case, it seems like justice, at least for Quarles, was served.
This case is full of surprises. This big exception to Miranda, dissenting opinions that are worried about abuse, and then Quarles ends up going free. It shows that law is, well, anything but simple.
Totally. It's a mix of legal principles, individual rights, what society values, and sometimes just how people act. It's complicated.
Okay, so we've covered a lot. The ins and outs of New York v. Quarles and how it's affected the legal world. Before we wrap up, what are some of the key takeaways for our listeners, especially those in the legal field?
I think the big one is Quarles shows us this constant tension between individual rights and keeping the public safe. It's a reminder that law isn't always black and white. There are gray areas where we got to think about all sides.
It's about finding that balance, right?
Yeah. And for lawyers, it means you got to really understand the details of the law, you know, be able to analyze situations and make strong arguments for your client, all while staying within the rules.
So it's not just knowing the rules, it's knowing how to use them in the real world, which is always changing.
Exactly. And that's what makes law so challenging, but also so interesting.
Well said. Well, we're going to wrap up this deep dive into New York v. Quarles here. Thanks for joining us on this journey through legal history and how it still matters today.
It's been great. Always fun to look at these big cases and how they still affect us.
It's crazy how a case from, what, like 45 years ago
yeah.
is still relevant. But for those of us who aren't lawyers, what's the big takeaway from Quarles? What makes it so important?
Well, it makes us think about that balance, right? Individual rights versus keeping everyone safe. That's something we all deal with, not just in the legal world, but just in how we live.
Yeah, it's like this constant back and forth. We want freedom, but we also want security. Finding that middle ground where both are respected, that's tough.
It is tough. And Quarles is a great example of that struggle. The court tried to set some rules with the public safety exception, but even they admitted there's no easy answer.
What this case really shows me is law is not just set in stone. It's always changing, being interpreted in new ways as things happen. It's complicated, it's messy, and there's never really one final answer.
Right, and that's what makes it so interesting. Quarles is still being debated, making us rethink what the Constitution means in our lives today.
I think there's a warning in this case, too. It shows how these exceptions to basic rights, even when they're meant for good reasons, can be misused, even abused. We got to be careful, keep an eye on things, both as legal professionals and just regular people.
You got it. We can't just assume the system is going to protect us. We have to stay informed, hold those in power accountable, and speak up if our freedoms are being chipped away, even if it's in the name of safety.
Couldn't have said it better myself. This deep dive into New York v. Quarles, it's been really insightful. We saw how complex the legal system is, how different interests clash, and how one Supreme Court case can change how we think about justice and security.
It's been great breaking down this case with you. Hopefully everyone listening has a better understanding of how law works and how this constant debate between individual rights and safety, well, it's something we're all part of.
And hey, maybe this deep dive will inspire some future lawyers out there to take on these tough legal questions. Because the fight for justice, it never really ends, does it?
It doesn't. It's a journey we're all on, together.
Great way to put it. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into New York v. Quarles. Until next time, keep those legal minds sharp and keep thinking critically.